This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's go. Let's go, Tommy. Yell it for me one time.
McFarland!
My friend, thank you. It may be called Red Sox Review. I'm calling it the Baseballs and Boring Power Hour Plus. I guess we're going to be on with you until 6 o'clock. And obviously, this is not all we're going to talk about as we storm on into the 6 o'clock hour, because we get the Celtics coming up. We've obviously had the Patriots. But really, the Celtics, we have to give a tip of the chapeau to the great game of basketball that is coming up. We're not going to ignore it. Our great friend, the ultra-talented Megan Ottolini, is going to be calling in just after the 5 o'clock hour. And then boots on the ground, Terp. Boots on the ground, Justin Turpin in Orlando, fresh off the Joe Mazzulla pregame press conference. He is going to call in to tell us what Joe said and give us the what's what there. But listen, there's still time to squeeze in some calls in regards to the great game of baseball. Yes, the last we talked to you, the last I talked to you folks was yesterday. And it was around this time, and the Red Sox had just lost game one. And what we said, along with the play testy guys, Gordo and Sammy, what we said after that game one was that, sure, it was one game. The problem was that it was a microcosm of the problems that had led them to this sad trombone, really, of a 500 season to that point. I mean, again, let's take a breath. That was after game one. So what we had said that, you know, whether it's not putting the ball in play, whether it's not getting the starting pitching that you would hope for in Tanner Houck, whether it's middle relief, whether it's the middle of the order not coming through, all of these things led to that loss, that very, very frustrating loss. Yet, by the end of the show, I was saying, well, what would make you feel better, fellas? What would make you feel better, everybody? What if the Red Sox came out and did this, this, and this in game two? Well, you know what I said? You know what I said would make me feel really good and make me feel like I didn't have to down 10 melatonin? You know what make me feel good?
What's going to make you feel better?
No, I said, does Jaren Duran stealing home? That's what I said. I said, you know what? It's going to be the 16th anniversary of Jacoby Ellsbury, the last time you had a straight steal of home. And I said before the game, Tom, you know what would really turn things around if this guy steals home? Well, sure enough, magic, science, math, all the above, all came together. The Baseball Isn't Boring Science Hour, Power Hour. That's what I said, and sure enough, it happened, and they're on their way. They win yesterday's game, and let's be honest. I mean, the steal of home, that was a lightning bolt. Really, that whole sequence, the triple, the steal of home. If you want a power rank, I love a good power ranking, Tom. Like, you want to power rank the most exciting plays in baseball, Jaren Duran did, I think, the top two right there. I'm going to put the steal at home at number one, and I'm going to put a triple at number two. And he got both of those in that play. Boom, you're on your way. You win the game. You feel good about yourself. You have some more productive pitching, more productive hitting. And then you get to today. And what happens? Well, clearly you are launched with this momentum that you got in game two yesterday. 13-3. Everything, all these things that we had talked about being good, well, they just carried over to this game. And make no mistake about it. You know, as frustrating as that game was in game one, because you're like, which way are they going to go? Which way is this going to be a bad series for the Red Sox? Because the Cleveland Guardians are a good team. They're a fundamentally sound team. They put the ball in play. They have really good relief pitching. All of these things popped up in game one. And you're like, oh my goodness, is this going to be another example of the Red Sox in weeds too tall to mow? Like, is that going to be the problem? But sure enough, we are trying to define what the Red Sox are. We are trying to define if the Red Sox can actually hang with the big boys. And yes, the Cleveland Guardians are the big boys. The Cleveland Guardians made it to the ALCS last year. They are a very, very good team. That's what we were saying after game one. That's what we'll continue to say. And the Red Sox handled them. Absolutely handled them, especially today. 13-3. And the guy who has all of a sudden been the catalyst that you want him to be, Jarren Duran, 4-for-6 today after three hits yesterday. 4-for-6. Devers, once again, goes deep for a second straight day. I mean, all of this stuff is exactly what you would hope for. Rob Refsnyder, every time he gets in the lineup, he produces. Another home run today. And Christian Campbell, I am waiting. I am the guy. Mea culpa. Mea culpa for me. Christian Campbell, when I saw him the first couple of weeks of spring training, I'm saying, no way, no chance, no how, never going to be in the major leagues to begin the year. Then he starts playing. Clearly he's going to make the major league team. Clearly he's going to be in the opening day roster. And I kept overusing the whole Dustin Pedroia 2007, you're going to struggle in April and it's just how it's going to be, but maybe you'll be good. Well, he hasn't struggled. He's been good from the get-go. He continues to be good. Today, 2-for-2, 4 runs scored, 3 walks, an 886 OPS, hitting .305, second best OPS of any rookie. So he is legit, and today was another example of that. And then you have Sedan Rafaela. Sedan Rafaela, the guy that everybody wanted to put in the crosshairs in terms of, oh, Roman Anthony has to get called up. And obviously that's not going to happen now or anytime soon with that bruised foot of his. But Sedan Rafaela was the guy that everybody said, you got to send him down, call Roman Anthony up because, you know, Roman Anthony's better than Sedan Rafaela. And in fairness, at that time, Rafaela hasn't done a whole lot. But there's been nobody on the Red Sox. We should take note of this, and we should give credit where the credit's due. There is nobody on the Red Sox who has been better in runners in scoring position than Rafaela. Once again, 2-for-4 today, 5 RBIs. So all these things, it worked out. Congratulations to the Boston Red Sox. So that's what we've landed after we had the epic show yesterday with the Playtesty guys, where we were dealing in passion, where we were dealing with all the who's who and all the vitriol and all the concerns stemming off that first game in Cleveland after a rainout. Now we take a step back. You head to Toronto. You have a team that's 2 games over .500. You just won a series from, again, one of the better teams in the American League at their own place. You got a good pitching performance from Brian Bello. Yes, as many concerns as we had after that game one, we have the answer to the question I had after the game one as well. What would make you feel better? And the laundry list is long. The laundry list of things that make Red Sox fans feel a whole lot better popped its head up in the last 2 games. There's no question about it. I mean, we were having fire Alex Cora calls. You know that when people are getting the fire Alex Cora calls and not focusing on Casas, not focusing on Devers, but putting Cora in the crosshairs, you know people are frustrated. They were frustrated after their first game. I don't think we're going to get any fire Cora calls today. I don't think so. Steve in the car. Let's go to Steve in the car before we take a break. Hey, Steve, how you doing? Stevie? Steve?
Yes. Hey.
Hey.
Hello, is this Brad Poe?
Yeah. What's going on, Steve?
Always a pleasure to talk to you. You're awesome.
Thanks,
so I got
you're
to
awesome.
Listen to most of the game working in my yard, and now I'm in the car. And I was just going to say, good call on two exciting baseball plays. But I also would say, stealing a home is the best. But then the second would be inside the park home run.
Ooh,
and then a triple.
That's a great one. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that was amazing today. Outstanding. Campbell, that kid is great. And I loved hearing Will quizzing Cooper about movies. And the stat of the day was that Marcelo Meyer has 30 RBIs in the first month. So I am looking forward to the day when those two come up, but I'm also really happy with the team right now.
Yeah, and Steve, thanks so much for the call. And he's right. I mean, the things that he rattled off, like all good stuff. And I would totally agree. I totally miss that. Inside the park home run is more exciting than a triple. And I'll throw another one in there that I like is a throw from right field gunning a guy out at home plate. A close play at the plate or a throw from home from right field. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Before I forget, I do want to make mention of this before we go to break and we get Megan Nottolini on the line to talk all things leading into the Celtics. And maybe dabble a little bit of the Patriots stuff, too. My good friend Bernie over here, we just came from Fenway Park, and we were over at the Pete Frates Foundation game between Boston College and Miami. Miami squeaks out the win, but the scoreboard didn't tell the story. The big winner was all the money that was raised once again for the Pete Frates Foundation, and also the opportunity to take a breath and to remember once again how important Pete was to so many people. One of the most impactful athletes, I'm going to say it, one of the most impactful athletes in the history of sports. Right? I mean, I don't think you can argue that. The amount of money that was raised because of what Pete Frates and his family did, absolutely. And today over at Fenway Park, it was a great event, a great day. And so it was a great time to sort of take a pause and remember that while watching some great baseball. All right. As we promised, we got a lot of stuff coming up in the next hour leading up to 6 o'clock. You can call in 617-779-7937, to rant and rave. But, you know, the rant and the raving about the Red Sox is probably only going to be positive stuff. But also, if you want to rant and rave about the Celtics, go ahead. Because it's our job and it's our responsibility to put you in the best position, in the best mindset, to enjoy the great game of basketball tonight. Right, Tom? Correct?
Yes, sir, Bradford.
All right, how are you going to watch this game, Tom?
I'm going to watch it right here at WEEI.
Okay. All right. And give me a prediction.
Celtics win. Magic number is 105. They get above 105. Magic can't touch them.
See, I was telling everyone, Tom, and we can bring this up with Mago, Tom. I'm going to call you out because I'm like, I said, well, what if they lose? Oh, they aren't going to lose. There's no chance they lose. Orlando, it's not even an NBA team. That's what you said. Orlando, he's like, not even a city.
That is not what I said. I just said I'm not afraid of them.
I'm not afraid of the people of Orlando. I'll walk through the streets of Orlando. I'll walk down Main Street at Disney World shirtless with a big Celtics logo painted on my body. I think that was word for word with what you said, isn't it?
Pretty close.
All right. All right. We'll call it in, but we're going to have Mego call up in a little bit. Appreciate everybody. Well, again, 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show / Red Sox Review / just a really good time. Be back after this. All right. Welcome back to whatever this show's called. What is it, Tom? You put it Red Sox Review. Baseball Isn't Boring Power Hour.
It's a good. If we have a rejoin, I'll play it.
We can whip one of those up. You know, also, we don't have a lot of rejoins left. I want Ace of Spades by Motorhead every single time.
I know how you work, Bradfoe. I know when I'm going to play it already.
All right. Just making sure. You know who else knows how I work? Mego. Megan Ardolini. Let's go. I'm here to fire you up, Mego. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Bradfoe?
What a weekend it's been.
Oh, my gosh. Jam-packed.
Hey. Before we get to the Celtics, and maybe if you want to throw in some Patriots stuff anyway, did you see this thing about the Shedeur Sanders, the phone, the prank call thing?
The story about the Falcons, I believe it's the defensive
defensive coordinator's son. This randomly got the number from his dad who was having the number lay around and then prank called Shedeur Sanders. And I know this wasn't on the show prep list that I sent you that things we're going to talk about, but I just saw that. I'm like, what an idiot. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
First of all, not aware that there was a show prep list. Second of all, kids are cruel. Like, that is so cruel. And 21 years old, to me, I'm a softy, I think, and that's how old the defensive coordinator from the Falcons kid is. That's a kid to me, but that's so mean. You know, you think these young guys in the draft are just Teflon. And meanwhile, this is incredibly stressful for them going through this entire process.
Producer Tom's 21, correct?
Yes, sir.
And would you ever do that?
I'm not a prank call guy.
You're not?
No.
Hey, Mega, let me tell you a quick story, because I know you called up to hear me tell a quick story. Last week.
Always.
Last week, you know where, I'm just going to say it, Honeygrow, because they have to change their policies. You know the place on Boylston?
Okay.
Right? Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I don't frequent it, but I know it.
Yeah, so I order my food. I go, and they have it there, to like, you know, ready to pick up usually. It's not there. They say, oh, so somebody took it. I'm like, oh, somebody took it. We'll make you some new food. Like, thank you. No big deal. So I'm waiting around. I get a call from an unidentified number, and it's the guy basically taunting me that he took the food and said how delicious it was.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No.
That is psychotic. The only thing that would make that crazier is if he was standing, you know, in front of the restaurant, like looking through the window.
I was looking. I was like looking. It was like, I was like, who's, I was like, the caller, no caller. I say this so you got to change the way they do things because it's ridiculous. But I'm saying, I don't have to tell you, man. I'm still eating for free. So it's like, but
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
That is really weird behavior. I always wonder how often that happens because I'm a big order, just go and grab and go, especially with Tate. Like, that's one of my number ones.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can just walk up there. It's not like they check your ID when you're picking up your sandwich.
No. And you know, it's, and yeah, I unfortunately left my name, my number and everything else. So yes, people, if you want to call and taunt me, because, you know, I bring it all back to myself anytime you have a Shedeur Sanders controversy.
I know that about you.
I also was not drafted until the fifth round, so I know how it feels. Anyway.
You also have been victimized by a prank call.
I have. I feel the pain. All right, Mago, let's go. Tom, producer Tom here says the Celtics can't possibly lose ever in a million years. What is your vibe heading into this Celtics game?
Do you mean you lose this game or lose this series? Which are
no,
we
no.
talking
I
about?
Want to know in the short term, the game tonight.
So yeah, I kind of agree. I think that they really have to assert themselves tonight and assert their game plan. The way that they got into it with the Magic in game three, I think was kind of inevitable because the level of physicality and irritation that the Magic were bringing to the court keeps increasing. And I think it kind of reached a boiling point for the Celtics and they really played into their hands. I mean, they only attempted 27 3-pointers, which is fewer than any game in the regular season. And the regular season, the game when they attempted the least few pointers was 33 against the Magic. So the Magic know how to get to them and get them off their game. And a lot of it has to do with just kind of shoving them around and yanking Jaylen Brown when he goes up for a layup and, you know, pulling on Jason Tatum when he's off ball and yanking him around. And I think it just got to them. And to me, they kind of pissed off and a little bit unassertive, unfocused. So I think that they have to come in with a totally different mentality for this game and try to flush this thing out in five. Because especially if you just watched the Detroit Pistons, New York Knicks game, the Knicks might win in five, and you don't want to be the team that's going longer than that series and scrapping around with a bunch of Orlando dudes who are trying to bash your head in.
Exactly. I mean, put that on the bumper stickers. Do not, that is it. Forget about analytics. You do not want to be messing around with a bunch of Orlando dudes who are trying to bash your head in. Like, that's the
most. Maybe a Disney World sticker.
Oh, there you go. So, but is it? It's almost like the chicken and an egg thing, I think, where, you know, when we're looking at the talent level of the two teams, not close, right? We know the Celtics are more talented,
right?
But maybe what we undersold, and maybe I'm the only one that undersold it. Maybe you and Tom knew this and were experts and said this is going to be a problem. But this team, this Orlando team, is really, really good, as you point out, of limiting 3-pointers. Like their 3-point defense is really, really good. And we all know the way that the Celtics play, like, that's what they want to do, and that's what, you know, that's the straw that stirs their drink. But so did we undersell this at all, and is that piece of the equation? You just pointed it out, Mago. You just pointed out, like, the number of threes that you had. Like, that's an issue. So are we underselling that part of this whole thing?
think so, because I do believe going into it, we were all, you know, eyes open about they were a really highly defensively rated team. They close out really quick on the perimeter. I honestly thought it was going to be a sweep. And that's the only level of disappointment that I have, is that they weren't able to just kind of run through this team. I never thought that it wasn't going to be a battle physically. And even they've risen above what the Magic does on the perimeter at times. In game two, I remember there was one point where there was a closeout of a Magic defender on Derek White in the corner. And I mean, they were literally like nose to nose, and Derek sinks the three-pointer. So they can do it. I think it's just a matter of keeping their offense spread out and finding the matchups that they want. And the other side of it is, defensively, it is tougher for them when Drew Holiday's not out there. Drew Holiday's not going to be out there again. And so they honestly, like, as good as some of these guys have developed their defensive game, they have to be very aware of the switches on Paolo Banchero, because they have a switching defense. And no, they don't have Drew Holiday just to throw on Paolo Banchero and make him go 0-for. Like, they have to be very strategic about that on the other side of the court as well.
The great Mega Donnellini joins us. And Mega, so I love a good power ranking. So give me the power rank. You mentioned Holiday. You obviously have Brown banged up. You have Tatum banged up. You have, you know, Porzingis constantly banged up, whatever it is. What are, get power rank for me, the concern, as for, and even beyond this series, let's say they win this series, because producer Tom told me there's 101% chance of them winning the series. So let's just assume that he's right, okay, because he's been right his an entire 21 years on this planet. So
that's incredible.
I know. I mean, it's good for you, Tom. That's my graduation gift to you. But so who get power rank for me, your concerns, if they are making a run through this thing, your concerns about the players that I mentioned, whether it's physical, mental, you know, production, whatever it is, power rank with the most concerning to the least concerning.
Most concerning to me is Jason Tatum, because the injury was on his shooting, the wrist on his shooting hand. And that's the most valuable part of his body. And he's your most valuable player. I know that last year we saw Jaylen Brown be the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and the Finals MVP, and he had this wonderful run. But Tatum is still the center of the universe for the Celtics. And so we only saw one game from him since. It was fabulous, but I'm still keeping an eye on that, because it's going to be a pain tolerance thing for him, and you're going to want him to shoot a lot. So he's going to have to be contending with a lot of pain. We're very early in the playoffs process. From there, I'd probably honestly kind of put Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday together, because I think the other thing about Drew being out in game three was the sensibility of the team on the court is just a little different. I think Drew, when he gets into the playoffs, this 34-year-old vet who has two rings now with two different organizations, he goes about his business, and I think he keeps everybody kind of on an even keel. And when he's not out there, aside from what he does basketball-wise, I do think that they lose some of that. And with Jaylen, again, it's a pain tolerance thing, but we've seen him be able to play with whatever injury he's dealing with and play really well as well. So my concern with him isn't as much Jason Tatum.
Okay, Porzingis just is Porzingis. Is, you know,
Porzingis is what you're living with, man. Like, yeah. I love Kristaps Porzingis. I think he's going to be really important at different points during this playoff run. He's just not – he's getting the right looks, and he's not shooting well. And he's getting punked a little bit on D, which he said specifically he doesn't want to happen. So he'll figure it out. I'm not as worried about him.
No, nobody should get punked on D. They should have, like, an analytic punked on D. How many times you're punked on D?
The punked meter.
The punk meter. There should totally be a punked stat. All right, well, before I let you go, I know that you do such a good job in so many ways for our organization, including the wildly popular Mego and Scheim show on Saturdays. And I know that you have you've been immersed with Scheim's draft, just the knowledge. You could probably rattle off every single player with the draft, because Chris Scheim has mentioned every single one of their names on your show.
Yes.
And so, that's a very simple question when it comes to this whole draft thing. What grade do you give the Patriots?
I would give them somewhere between an A- and a B+. I think this was a really good draft for them. I had braced myself for the Will Campbell pick. I understand why they did it. I'm just still skeptical about if he's going to fill the biggest need on your roster, which is left tackle. And I kind of lowered my expectations there, where if he can be a stopgap this season and he's an upgrade from Vidarian Lowe and he can at least protect Drake May and help the offense function this year, and then he has to kick into guard eventually, then maybe he'll be like a Devin McCourty type, where he's somebody, now Devin McCourty was drafted with the 27th overall pick, but he's somebody that you pick in the first round and you have to move them from a premium position to something a little less corner to safety, but they're such a high character person and they end up being a Pro Bowler several times over. So it's not a premium position, but it's kind of a foundational piece of your team that you go on to have. That's what I think, like, the realistic best case scenario for Will Campbell may be. And I'm okay with that. And I love the Travion Henderson pick. I love the Kyle Williams pick. Those two really jump out at me as so much fun. Once we start getting later and later into the draft, like day three stuff, I'm honestly just not going to do backflips about, because I don't go that deep like Sean does and like learn these guys' personal histories at number 172 or something.
You know what I like? This is my very simplistic way of looking at it, is that I love that I look these guys up and their projected round that they were supposed to be picked in was either where the Patriots picked them or even the round before, compared to the Patriots picking a guy in the second round and he's projected to go in the seventh round, and everybody's screaming and yelling,
right,
saying, no, 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 you don't understand. They value him differently. Well, okay, my argument against that all these years, Mego, was that's fine if you value these guys more, but still, what's good for business is picking him at a place where you can get him, which they never did. They picked the kicker in the fourth round when they could have picked him in the 15th round or whatever that equivalent is. So I just like,
yeah,
I like seeing that for the first time in years. So I don't know. I don't know. That's what I like. So
yeah. And I really like the focus on offense, because so much of what they did in free agency was defensively focused. And a lot of that had to do with Mike Vrabel's connections and who he could kind of recruit into this program. And that's fine, but it's clear that they had real needs that they needed to address offensively. I think they at least have tried to do a lot of that through this draft. So we'll see if they finally turn it around. I'm a little bit more optimistic because it is Mike Vrabel and we're in the honeymoon phase with him. Once we get into training camp, even mini camp, we'll get a better idea of how these guys actually look as football players. But I think it's okay for fans to be kind of celebrating the draft as they see it right now.
Yeah, I would agree. And I normally don't agree, but I agree with that. But Mego, so good.
It's tough for Patriots fans right now.
Yeah. I hope that you had a great weekend and will continue to have a great weekend with a great Celtics game. The great game of basketball is about to be unfurled right before your eyes. And it's going to be a great week for you. It's been a great month. It's been a great year. Keep on dominating. I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks, Bradford. Watch out for your honeydew.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called.
Exactly.
Honeygrow.
That's probably best that we do mispronounce it. Yes. But yes, I will.
Honeygrow.
If anyone wants to taunt me after a food order, go ahead. I am unfazed. All right, Mega. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Talk to you later, Rem.
All right. Great, Megan Ottolini. That's some good stuff. I like talking Celtics. I like talking Patriots. I like when producer Tom is so adamant that he's right. I mean, that's what you think. Here's the thing. It's what you should know. Your aspiring radio career. Just dig in, man. I'm going to keep taunting you, and I'm going to keep trying to poke holes in your argument. It's like, what did you say? You said something stupid last year about baseball, but you dug in on it. What was it?
I said if I could take any player in the majors, I would take Paul Skeens. For two reasons.
Okay.
Because one, it's always nice to have an ace.
All right.
And two, Livy Dunn brings people to the ballpark.
All right. Okay. Again, it's your prerogative to be wrong. All right. Well, speaking of which, he's always right in the trend. So here you go. Here's Tom with the trend. Attaboy. Attaboy. I mean, come on. Right? When you're at your parties with your college, which you're about to put in the rear view, right? When things are getting a little slow, you put this on. Correct?
You'll be surprised Sabrina Carpenter does crazy things in a function these days in college. Crazy.
There you go.
Lights the place up.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, 617-779-7937. This is Rob Bradford. This is a Baseballs and Boring show, but we are talking about other things, Celtics and Patriots. And I am now, we're going to talk about some stupidity. And we talked a little bit about the stupidity of that we had in the case of someone calling to taunt me about my food order, which Tom would never do, right? Correct?
No, sir.
No. There's no win there. There's no win. And then, so that spawned off of the stupidity that you had Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich of the Atlanta Falcons. And we had heard the prank call to Shedeur Sanders, when he was going through that misery. And the NFL said we're going to do an investigation how this number came out. Well, they figured it out. Let me read this statement real quick. So, early in the week, this comes from the Atlanta Falcons. Early in the week, Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of defense coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, unintentionally came across the draft contact phone number for Shedeur Sanders off an open iPad while visiting his parents' home and wrote the number down to later conduct a prank call. Jeff Ulbrich was unaware of the data exposure or any facets of the prank and was made aware of the above only after the fact. The Atlanta Falcons don't condone, apologize, also being in contact with the NFL. Anyway, I want to put this out there to you, Tom. Do you believe him? Do you believe it? So I've got that excuse from people. I've got that excuse from people who I've caught in the lies. Oh, I was just, I was just walking by and this happened and I knew nothing about it, right? It seemed fishy that he would just be leaving this out and he just took it and wrote it down. Maybe. The kid's a moron. No disrespect to all 21-year-olds out there. Kid's a moron. But what's your take on that?
So you said it was the defensive coordinator, which to me is where the red flag pops up. Because why would the DC have Sanders' phone number? I mean, the Falcons weren't even probably talking to Sanders. They just drafted Michael Penix. So the whole situation is very confusing to me to why this kid would have the
number. That's a great point by you. It's a great point by you. It's a little too convenient. The Atlanta Falcons, obviously, they release a statement, hey, our guy isn't to blame. His moron son is. That's it. And they can't punish the moron son, other than, hey, he's going to ground him for a month. I don't know. But it's a great point by you. And what are you doing? You should punish, by the way, the dad. You should punish the dad. And here's the reason why. If you aren't professional or responsible enough to not leave these young men's numbers lying around, then you should be punished. Like, there should be a disciplinary action with this. So, okay, that was moronic. Absolutely. Another moronic thing, and this is a little up for debate. Did you see the Bill Belichick interview on, what was it, Good Morning America?
CBS Sunday Morning or something like that.
Yeah, CBS Sunday
Morning.
Yeah,
Arkin reposted it.
Oh, my goodness, so cringy. And listen, this goes under the Bill Belichick can do anything he wants. He can do absolutely anything he wants. But in this interview, I apologize. I forget the name of the interviewer. But, they're interviewing Bill Belichick about his book. And obviously a big topic of this was Robert Kraft is not mentioned at all in the book. At all. Not acknowledgments, nothing. So he's asked about this. And he just does his Belichick thing. Like, no, I don't need to say whatever. He doesn't say anything. But then the subject of his girlfriend comes up, Jordan Hudson, who is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen on a football field, where the girlfriend of the coach walks out during spring practice onto the field to consult with the coach. In that case, it was Bill Belichick. So the interviewer, he starts getting into it with, about their relationship, and they ask a simple question of Bill Belichick, hey, where did you meet? Or how did you meet? And Jordan Hudson, who, as they point out while sort of narrating the interview, is very present in the background of this interview. She's on the side. So they said, how did you meet? And you hear Jordan Hudson, and then they flash to Jordan Hudson on the side about, hey, we're not going to talk about that. That's what Jordan said. We're not going to talk about that. So that was – Bill Belichick can do anything he wants. I'm not saying he's a moron for dating Jordan Hudson. I'm not saying he's a moron for whatever he's doing with Kraft. That was moronic to actually have somebody who is sitting there and says is dictating what you're going to talk about and what you're not going to talk about. And we're going to get to Justin Turpin in a second, live from Orlando, because that's what we do. When Joe Mazzulla talks, we go to live. I'm going to save my last bit of idiocy, and it has to do with what happened in the Red Sox game today with Jaron Duran. Jaron Duran, who had an unbelievable couple days here, a really, really good couple days, but had to deal with a moron once again. I'm going to get to that in a second because I don't want to leave my guy Terp on the line because he's probably in the sweltering heat of Orlando just to get us the news for WEEI. Terp, what's up? Terp.
Yo.
Hey, man, you all right? I mean, I know how hard it is to find a quiet place in the raucous confines of the Orlando Center or whatever it is. So I appreciate. I hope you found a little alcove there to talk. How you doing? All right.
I'm good. I just found the quietest possible place. I was actually like maneuvering into the back, and I put it in my pocket real quick because I thought there was a commercial break or something, and then you answered. So here we are.
Well, you're a good man. You're a good man. So this is why I'm going to say this with all sincerity. You are truly, if not the hardest working, one of the most hardest working people covering the Celtics. Not even close. Not even close. Nobody works harder. And the fact that you took a shuttle bus, you Ubered to Orlando, whatever you did, tells me your commitment, tells me your passion for getting us the best content, which you always do. And that includes this moment right here and now because Joe Mazzulla just talked, correct?
He did. Not a whole lot from him.
I don't care. Don't spoil it. So how long was it? How long was it, first of all?
Probably a minute and 45 seconds.
Ooh, a minute 45.
Yeah.
Was he surly Mazzulla? Was he short Mazzulla? Was it just like nothing for him to say? What, you've been through enough of these. Give me the level of Mazzulla that we were dealing with.
I mean, he was short, but in fairness, we talked to him after the game, and they had a Zoom meeting yesterday on the day off. So we've talked to him twice since the game ended, and there really hasn't been much else to talk about. So he was short. Talked a little bit about Porzingis and getting him going, but that was really about it.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you the same question as we had Mego on, your cohort with the Celtics beat for WEI. And I asked her, I said, power rank the players that are concerning for you for the Celtics and even beyond this series, assuming they go beyond the series, because I don't know if you know this, Terp, producer Tom here, he guaranteed 101%, no question about it, that the Celtics are going to win tonight, and they're going to win the series. They're never going to lose again because Orlando stinks. Anyway, power rank your concerns of these four players, the number one being the most concerning. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, and Kristaps Porzingis.
All right, I'm going to put Jaylen Brown at number one.
Ooh.
Just because this knee injury is something that he's back on the injury report, and I expect him to be on the injury report throughout the postseason here. But that's something he's going to be dealing with throughout the playoffs, and you really don't know what it takes for him to aggravate it. And you saw how bad he was towards the end of the year just with the knee injury, and, I mean, he was struggling mightily, so I put him at number one. Then I would go Drew Holiday because we really haven't seen him do much since he's been out with his hamstring injury, and it kind of popped up out of nowhere. He played the entire fourth quarter of Game 2 and then was on the injury report for Game 3, missed the game. We haven't seen him do any running or any shooting or anything like that since he suffered the injury, so I put him at number two. Then I would go Jason Tatum because he's actually dealing with a wrist injury. Like, there's actually something there. And I'd put Kristaps Porzingis last because if you're looking towards after the series, he's healthy. It's just, it's been a tough matchup. He hasn't been able to get anything going. So I put those three in order just because of the injuries they actually are dealing with something. Kristaps Porzingis is just in a little bit of a shooting slump.
God bless you, my friend, because you offered a little bit different list than Mego, which spices up the conversation. Mego, who do you think Mego put number one?
She probably went Jalen.
Nope.
It wasn't. Who was it?
Tatum.
It was Tatum. I mean, he was perfectly fine to me the other night in game three. He was terrific.
Man, controversy among the ranks. And then she, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, like she put Jrue Holiday and Jaylen Brown tied, right?
Which she did.
Cop out. No, I'm just kidding, Mega. No, it's not. But it's tied. But is this interest? You put Tatum at number three. Okay. All right. I got you. That's fine.
I'm just looking at it pure from like a health standpoint for the most of it. Like with Jrue Holiday, again, like we don't really know what's going on there. But with Jaylen, it's just this knee injury just pops up. Like he was fine in game. Obviously, he was terrific in game two. It popped up. He was on the injury report again for game three. And he looks good. It's just he's wincing on dunks and stuff. And there's a long way between now and the start of the NBA Finals on June 5th. It's just that was the biggest concern coming into the playoffs. Is Jaylen Brown's knee and how healthy he was going to be able to be. So, I mean, that I haven't moved off that stance. I still look at him right now as that's the biggest question facing them.
I agree with both of you. That's my cop-out. I agree with both of you. Here's another question that I posed to Mega, is that, you know, we look at, as she expertly points out about the very, very low number of three-point shooting attempts for the Celtics, a team that thrives and relies on that part of the game. And so did we undersell coming in? Now, the talent level, we all believe, you know, Celtics have bigger talent level. Did we undersell the skill set of the Magic leaning into really matching up well against the Celtics in the sense that they're really good at defending three-pointers and the Celtics like to shoot three-pointers? Did we undersell this coming into the series?
I think we undersold the Magic as a whole coming into the series. I think people looked at that 41-41 record and was like, okay, this is just a mediocre team. They were 8 games above 500 at one point, and then they got destroyed with injuries and dropped down 6 below .500. So the fact they even came back up to 41-41 is rather impressive. And just with their defense, and that they're an incredible defensive team. They allowed the fewest three-pointers in the league at the fewest percentage. So, yeah, I think as a whole, this Orlando team might have been overlooked.
All right. So Justin Turpin, beat writer for the Boston Celtics for WEEI. I have two final questions. Number one is, did you have any off time down there? Have you had any time to mill around Orlando? No? Yes? No?
Yeah, we did yesterday. Yeah. We went to Orlando Springs yesterday. It was beautiful down there.
What is that? What's Orlando Springs?
It's like a bunch of a little boardwalk, a bunch of restaurants.
All right. All right. So that
was great.
And sorry you took away a part of my question, which I was going to say, okay, off day in Orlando, Justin Turpin, you can go anywhere you want. And this take Orlando Springs out of the equation. Do you go to Disney World or Universal Studios or SeaWorld?
I want to go to Universal.
You do?
I would have loved SeaWorld, too. I would have loved to go to Universal.
You're a roller coaster guy.
Oh, yeah. I love roller coasters. They're great. I haven't ridden one in a while, though.
Okay. See, look at the enthusiasm. See, this is what I'm saying. The childlike enthusiasm of the great Justin Turpin as he's getting ready. I'm getting you jacked up for this game, putting all these happy thoughts in your head.
I'm ready to go now.
Well, there you go. On your way back. But finally, the most important thing of any, as someone who's covered many, many games, playoff games on the road and at home, the most important question of them all, how is the media dining in Orlando?
Honestly, I didn't have it yesterday because we ate before, so I'm going to do that right after this, and I'll get back to you.
All right. We need to know that information. Boots on the ground.
I'll get it to you.
Okay. All right, my friend. Hey, listen, in all sincerity, you're doing an awesome job, and really, really enjoy yourself. NBA playoffs are so awesome, so great. And I know you know that having gone through it last year, and you're doing a great job this year. And so, once again, just really enjoy it and report back to us when you figure out what the media dining is and if the Celtics are actually going to win.
I will. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Terp. All right. Great Justin Turpin. I love talking to Terp. I love talking to Mango. Two great Celtics calls, right, Dom? Correct?
And they agree with me, which makes it even better.
Smarter. They're not going to say the Celtics are lose. Nobody's saying the Celtics are going to lose.
Sounds like you want to say it,
Much like my prediction that Durant is going to steal home, maybe I'll say the Celtics are going to lose. I don't know. No, I don't want them to lose. Are you kidding? Here's the thing. I root for what's good for business. Well, that's good for business. A Celtics run is good for business. Baseball will survive. I will continue to talk baseball. But at the same time, I I like to see people around me with smiles on their faces. I am a spreader of joy, and I enjoy when people are joyful. Let it be said, let it be done. All right. Well, one last segment to go before 6 o'clock, and so this is an easy one. I have not given the final bit of idiocy that we have dealt with, which loops back to where we started with the Red Sox. It, just an idiot was in the presence of the baseball players today in Cleveland. I'm going to get to that right after this. Let's soak in. We're lowering the heart rate a little bit. All right. By the way, friend of the program, Noah Kahn. Friend of the brand, Baseballs and Boring. Go check out him holding up a Baseballs and Boring t-shirt. Great choice. You're on your A-game, man. Tom. Producer Tom.
It's been a while, Bradfield. I want to put on for you.
I know. It's, well, you certainly have. And we're going to end this show with a real quick segment of who's the biggest idiot of the day. And that was some jamoke in Cleveland who yelled something really, really bad at Jaren Duran about what he said on Netflix, about, you know, possibly taking his own life. And obviously, the fan got kicked out. There was a confrontation between Duran, and Duran talked about this after the game.
First off, being able to come here, win a series, the way the offense kind of took off here, how nice was that to see?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we put some really good at-bats together today, you know, walking, hitting some singles, doubles, you know, running the bases good and taking care of some mistakes that they made on defense was honestly a big thing for us today.
Jared, you hit six hits against lefties the last two games. How big is that for you to just kind of break out, see the ball and stuff like that against those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been putting some good swings on lefties lately, just, you know, hitting it right at guys, you know, just trying to stay with my process, and it just happened to work good for me this series, so I'm just going to keep at it.
You mentioned base running. How good a base running team could this be over the course of the year?
I mean, I think we're a really good base running team. I mean, like KC taking advantage of a ball that's scribbled away. I advanced on a ball that's scribbled away, just like little things like that that other teams maybe aren't doing because they're checked out, like celebrating their hit or stuff like that. And we're on top of it. Is honestly, just that extra 90 is always important in a game.
Not today. I think you guys are the first, like, you had two steals at home and two, you know, that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just, you know, we like to play aggressive and cause pressure. And I think that's something that's kind of showing.
The situation that happened in the seventh, I heard what the fan told you. But how important is it to, you know, keep it baseball and not cross lines like that?
Yeah, I mean, the fan just said something inappropriate, and I'm just happy that the security handled it, and the umpires were aware of it, and they took care of it for me.
Good answer by Jaren Duran there in an ugly incident. Obviously, you know, it was true when he said, Alex Cora said that Jaren Duran saved lives with his comments on the Netflix special, and it did. I mean, this is a very important conversation, one which he shared with a lot of people and opened himself up, and unfortunately opened himself up also to idiots like this. But I think these people are obviously few and far between. They took care of business. Great answer by Jaren Duran after the game today. A great couple games for Jaren Duran, by the way. He's on a roll. The Red Sox are on the roll. They've won two in a row, two games over 500. You know who else is on the roll? Justin Turpin, Megan Arnolini, and producer Tom. All right. Look at you. All grown up. What a weekend it's been, huh? What would you give the Patriots draft?
I think they got an A, but I always overreact at the draft and think they kill it. Like last year, I thought they killed it. And yeah,
those
you always thought
those kickers. What a smart move by drafting those kickers in the fourth round.
Those are important points.
You were excellent, excellent. All right, well, go to @BB Isn't Boring. The Baseball Isn't Boring podcast every single day. We have a podcast up before 8 a.m. every single day. All right, here you go. See you next week.